This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
The world doesn't need another sports show. It needs an awesome sports show. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. The boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Good morning and welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. I'm your host, Walter Rigabon. As usual, with me, my co-host, Naz Marchese. Good morning, Naz. How are you?
Good, Wally. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much. Just to let our listeners know where we're going today. First up will be Michael Trakos, the hockey writer, senior writer for Post Media. In the middle of the hour, should be fun. Toronto Maple Leafs coach Sheldon Keefe. Certainly looking forward to that. Should be a great show. Naz, just to catch up, you and your family are still well, I presume.
They are. We're doing well, and we're surviving this whole thing. And we're going to be home pretty soon, I hope.
Hopefully. Everybody's getting a little bit restless, locked up in our homes. A lot of us, obviously, there's certain of us that aren't, who have to go to work every day, and some of our best are in the front lines, and we've talked about it on the show recently every week, and I think it would be appropriate once again to give thanks to our frontline workers, our healthcare workers, our nurses, our doctors, our first responders, our policemen, our firefighters, our truck drivers, our grocery store clerks, all those people who are out there providing essential services for the rest of us. Certainly, you have my thanks, and Naz, I'll allow you to give your thanks personally.
I can't say much more than that. Thanks very much, and keep the hard work going, and we'll try to be back to normal soon.
And we certainly would like to see that happen. Naz, a few minutes before we go to break, NFL draft this week, the one sport that's still got some things going on, held virtually. The funniest moment of the draft is every draft, you know, it's a standard feature in all professional sports drafts, where the crowd boos the commissioner. Well, because there was no crowd this time, they had a virtual booing. I thought that was a pretty nice touch.
That was pretty good. They had the highest ratings, Wally. They had the highest ratings ever.
Oh, there's nothing else to watch, Ned.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm getting tired of watching reruns of the Beverly Hillbillies and Get Smart. So, all kidding aside, there's some fantastic television on Netflix and Prime and all that stuff. But you know, we're sports fanatics. You can only go so far watching 1960s and 1970s reruns of great events. It's nice to, but I want to see some live sports. That's what we're waiting for. NFL draft, Naz. The Buffalo Bills, I know if we were in studio today, you're up in Nobleton, I'm in Richmond Hill. If we were in studio in Liberty Village, you would probably be wearing your Bruce Smith Buffalo Bills jersey. Sort of a quiet draft for the Bills, except for one notable drafting decision by the Bills. They did not have a first-round pick. Naz, a little bit of a shocker in the fifth round. I think the shock was he lasted that long. Your thoughts on that pick?
Jake Fromm, what an interesting pick. He went from second round projection to the fifth round. And it's because of his arm strength at the combine. And they don't think he can throw the ball down the field. So that's why they didn't draft him higher. But that's a pretty good pick. He was very good in the SEC with Georgia. And he played in the toughest division in college football.
Of course, the Southeastern Conference. Jake Fromm, fifth. You know, some people will question that pick. Why are we drafting a quarterback when we already have our quarterback of the future, or not even of the future, of the present, in Josh Allen? I don't think there's any intention hear that that Jake Fromm is going to take over from Josh Allen. But, you know, Jake Fromm played in some pretty significant games in his university career with the Bulldogs, Georgia Bulldogs.
He sure did.
You know, he's been and, you know, performed extremely well in some really, really high-level, high-pressure games. I think, you know, the reality is you, in today's NFL, you better have somebody who can come off the bench who can play. I think it's a rare occasion now that your starter plays every single minute of every single game for the entire year. It's not unusual for a starter to get hurt and a good backup plan. And certainly I think Jake Fromm's an improvement there. Jake Fromm, whether he grows into a first line NFL quarterback, I think he's got the tools. I don't think there's any question that that he has the ability. And then, you know, if he does that, not necessarily that he's going to take over from Josh Allen, but if he progresses into a first line NFL quarterback, then you know what, you can get some assets back in return for him.
You hear the same line. Tom Brady went seventh round, right? Why not?
Fifth or sixth, but I think you make the point. Now, I think you make the point. The point is he went in the later rounds, of course. Yeah, so, you know, you always find, you know, it's not not that difficult. Every now and then you'll find a diamond in the rough in the later rounds. And I don't think Montana was a first-round draft pick either, if I'm not mistaken. I think he may have been second or third round. I'd have to go Google it. I may be wrong, but I don't remember Montana.
I think he was the second round pick.
Yeah. So you can find good players. Overall, the Bills are looking good. Number one draft choice overall, Joe Burrow of LSU. LSU had 14 players drafted in the first, not in the first round, in the draft, which tied the Ohio State record. Your favorite, Alabama, Nez, they had quite a few guys chosen as well, did they not?
He should have been the first pick overall. Tua should have been number one. The reason why he wasn't number one is he was injury prone. And Miami got a great quarterback, and I hate to see him come to Buffalo and play the Bills. I love Tua. I saw him play in Alabama 3 years ago. And the first time I saw him, I knew he was going to be in the NFL and high.
And, Got to go to break. We've got to get Michael Trakos on. But before we go to break, a lot of Steeler fans in the amongst my social circle, and a lot of Steeler fans in the Toronto area in Southern Ontario. And interesting pick, Chase Claypool, a great pick, favorite of mine, of course, because he's from the Fighting Irish, Notre Dame, and also a Canadian kid. Great talent, great wide receiver. Certainly looking forward to seeing him in a Pittsburgh Steeler uniform. I thought that was a great pick by the Steelers.
He's a terrific receiver. Very good.
Yeah.
In Oklahoma, Neville Gallimore got drafted by Dallas. Here's an interesting thought. He does the 40-yard in 4.72 seconds.
And how much does he weigh?
305 pounds. He's got wide receiver speed in alignment, 305 pounds. Can you believe it?
That's a scary package, but the athletic ability of these kids nowadays is off the charts. Size, speed, dexterity, hand-eye coordination. Certainly the athletics of athletes today is beyond belief. And, you know, you get a 305-pounder. Man, I wouldn't want to have to face him when he's rumbling downfield and trying to block you. If I was a cornerback, I think I'd be a little bit nervous. On that note, Naz, we got to go to break, and we're going to come back from the break with national writer for Post Media, Michael Trakos. We'll be right back.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville introduced contact-free delivery. Order and prepay online and choose contact-free delivery. The driver will place your order on your doorstep in a nice, clear, protective bag. Then he'll politely stand back 2 metres and call the number on the receipt. Once you answer the door, he'll give you a little toodaloo and off he goes. Contact-free delivery from pizzaville.ca or the Pizzaville app.
Are you real ready? If you're a real estate agent, we can help you sell more homes. A business owner? We'll help show it off to the community at large. And if you're a homeowner, we'll supply accurate floor plans for every room in your home. Because selling property is all in the details. Real Tours Media, creators of 3D virtual tours, walkthrough video, HDR photography, logos, and brands. Check out the one-stop shop for successful real estate agents. RealToursMedia.ca.
With a little training, anyone can learn the security business while on duty at your home or company. It's unfortunate, but a lot of security companies are just not experienced enough to handle the complex dynamics of tactical security. And that little bit of training and experience can end up costing you a lot more than you bargained for. Peace of mind, trust, and honor is the foundation on which the Regal Security reputation is built. They're driven, they're respected, and they're unrivaled. They're everyday superheroes. Visit them online at regalsecurity.ca and find out how much they know, not how much they can learn.
To become a champion in business, it takes coaching, training, and bench strength. And every team needs a skilled player like KPMG Enterprise for private companies. KPMG Enterprise helps entrepreneurs and family businesses grow, strengthen, and transition by offering a full suite of services, including audit, accounting, tax, and advisory. Your business doesn't stand still. It evolves. Team up with a winner. Visit kpmg.ca/enterprise. Let's do this.
There's an old saying, entrepreneurship doesn't build character, it reveals character. Entrepreneurs learn to trust a person by trusting people. The law firm Rigabon Carly understands this. They know all about entrepreneurs because they work for them. Every day, they've earned their trust. They know that when it comes to meeting the legal and business needs of entrepreneurs, good enough is not enough. Rigabon Carly, the intelligent choice.
This is Daryl Sittler for Alta Infinity in Vaughan. I've worked with some pretty great teams over the years, and the staff at Alta ranks among the very best. Expert sales, superior service, and the largest selection of Infinity cars and SUVs in Canada, and the most competitive pricing anywhere. It's no wonder that Alta has been an all-star performer for well over a decade. Visit AltaInfinityWoodbridge.com, or better yet, drop by the No. 7 Auto Mall at the corner of Martin Grove and Highway 7. Experience the difference that makes Alta Infinity the captain's choice.
Are they ever wrong about sports? I can answer that in two words. Impossible. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. I'm your host, Walter Rigabon. As usual with me, my co-host, Naz Marchese, joining us now, national hockey writer for Post Media, author of The Next Ones, How McDavid, Matthews, and a Group of Young Guns Took Over the NHL. It's a great, great book. I highly recommend it. Of course, I'm talking about Michael Tracos. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Anyways, before we get started, Michael, I guess it's an appropriate opportunity now to wish you a happy birthday. I understand it's your birthday today.
Happy birthday, Michael.
I can't get anything by you guys, can I?
Anyways,
thanks very much, though.
I will tell you, we will save you the indignity of a couple of weeks ago. We had David Keon on the show, and we had our boys, Kim Mason, actually sang him happy birthday on our show. So, Michael, unfortunately, Naz and I, our voices aren't that great. We will not sing you happy birthday. So we'll try.
That's the best present I've ever received. So far.
How are you, Michael?
I'm doing all right. Hanging in there. A lot of work from home, obviously. It'd be nice to be covering, I guess, what would be probably the start of the second round or thereabouts right now. Would have been nice to see if the Toronto Maple Leafs would have been able to get over that hump this year. I think my colleague, Terry Koshan, said that a day ago was basically the day for the last two or three years where locker cleanout was being held. Yeah. And that's how we'd be approaching this weekend right now. It would have been locked the clean out and sort of looking back at what went wrong in the first round again. Or we'd be looking ahead to possibly, a matchup against maybe the Bruins in the second round. So, a lot has changed obviously since March 12th when the league went on hiatus, but, it will be nice to see if we can get back to normalcy and complete the season.
Michael, you wrote an article the other day about Donald Fehr and Gary Bettman. Apparently, they are corresponding with each other almost on a daily basis. Where there's various alternatives to getting the NHL either season and slash or playoffs going again. There's talk about neutral site, games without fans, different issue with respect to the playoff format, different issues about a potential date, the isolation of players. I mean, there's a lot of moving targets here. What are you hearing, if anything, with respect to discussions about these various issues? And if you had a gut instinct, how's all this going to play out?
Well, whatever option that the league and the PA decide to go down, ultimately it's going to. Well, first you're going to have numbers regarding this pandemic to go down and to flatten, and that hasn't happened yet. So it's all contingent on that, and you know it's also contingent on you know which areas in the U.S. and Canada are safer than others. They're not going to go into a spot like Calgary where the numbers are still crazy high, or Boston, or New York, obviously. So I think when I was talking with Don Fehr, there was just so many things that we just didn't know, and we still don't know, and we probably won't know for another month or so. But whatever happens, obviously the NHL and the Players Association are going to have to work lockstep in that regard, and they're going to have to both be on the same page. And there are some concerns when I talk to players about, you know what, maybe some players who are gunning for a championship won't mind sacrificing 2 months of their lives where they're in a hotel away from their family for that long. But even if it's 5%, even if it's one or two players, and it could be one or two key players, if they're not willing to go with this sort of plan to finish the season under all costs and then hurry along and get right back into hockey for the 2021 season, you're going to have problems. And talking to Don Fehr, he said, yeah, everyone has to be on board with this. If not, it's just not going to work because, let's face it, this is something that the players didn't sign up for, and to ask them to do it now, you might run into a lot of roadblocks. So I don't know where it stands. I think the NHL, obviously, you hear Gary Bettman speak, and it sounds like he is just hell-bent on getting the season back when it's safe to do so. And he's willing to do basically anything to do that. Don Fehr sounds like the same way. And, you know, money talks. And I think that's the number one motivating reason behind that. Without this season, they're going to lose a tremendous amount of money. And it's not going to only affect the next season, but the season after that. And there quite possibly could be a few franchises that maybe never recover. So, yeah, I think we're going to get a season. You know, all things considered, and if the numbers are going to be going down in the next month or two, but we just don't know. But if I'm going to bet, I think the NHL, like I said, is just so motivated to get this thing done that they're going to be willing to risk anything in terms of, you know, what we normally see of the playoffs and change the format completely just to do it.
Michael, is it their intention to complete the regular season?
I don't think so. I think the regular season is done. And I think that's going to be the tricky part, is that how they figure out who's a playoff team and who's not a playoff team. And like I said, when I mentioned that they're willing to do anything possible, I think that includes, you know, opening up the playoffs to more than 16 teams. And quite possibly having a sort of play-in round just to get the numbers to 8-8 across your conferences. But I think the season is done. I don't think, when you hear some guys out of Montreal and LA like Drew Doughty talk about, you know, why am I going to work out? Why am I going to rush back and have a training camp for a meaningless rest of the 2 week of the season when those teams are just not going to be in the playoffs regardless? It doesn't make sense, and players understand that. They're at this point in the year, they would have been already in summer mode, already sort of training, going into their off-season trainings. And now you're asking them to rush back for nothing. It doesn't make sense at all.
Michael, the Leafs signed this this new Russian, Barabanov. What have you heard about him?
Not much, to be honest.
Okay.
I don't watch a whole lot of KHL games. I know he's in his mid-20s. I know when they talk about him, it could be another Ilya Mikheyev situation where this guy, undrafted player, reaches his peak maybe later on, puts together a couple good pro years. But I don't remember him at the Olympics. I know he played in the Olympics. Didn't look like he had the greatest showing there. You know, what I'm looking right now, he had a goal and assist in six games. Not the greatest thing, but you know, plays for a really good team. Like St. Petersburg is always the cream of the crop in terms of the KHL teams. Put up some decent numbers last year and the year before, and just one of those guys that might just be another late bloomer. One thing about him is, though, he's another small size winger, and a guy who is sub 6 feet on this team that plays on the wing. Well, you know, add him to the list of guys that this team already has in the system. So it'll be interesting. I think, you know, when you're looking at what the Leafs are going to do with Mikheyev, with Pierre Engvall, with, you know, like, are they going to trade Kasperi Kapanen? Are they going to trade Andreas Johnsson in the summer trying to get a defenseman? Well, you do move out some of those forwards that are proven. You're going to need some, you know, cheaper options in their place. And, you know, if a guy like Alexander Barabanov can take that spot, then, you know, Kyle Dubas is able to kind of ship out a guy like Kapanen or Johnsson if that's the move that he makes.
Michael, they're opening the training facilities for the NBA May 1st with permission given. You think it's a little premature?
Yes. That's what, less than 2 weeks away?
Incredible. I don't see it.
I don't see it either. But money talks, like I mentioned. And, you know, the NHL is going to look at that because, you know, I don't think they share training facilities with NBA teams. There might be one or two that do. But, you know, that it always seems like whatever the NBA does, the NHL follows suit. And we saw that with, you know, the NBA the night before the NHL closed its doors. It was the NBA had gone on hiatus because of some positive tests. And that's really all it took to kind of push the needle for Gary Bettman to follow suit. So, you know, if the NBA is opening up May 1st, don't be surprised if the NHL is watching what happens in those situations like a hawk. And if everything turns out okay in the weeks that follow, and again, I'm highly, highly skeptical that we even get to May 1st and the NBA is opening up training facilities, but let's just for the sake of argument that it does happen, and the NHL is going to, you know, make their decisions based on how successful or unsuccessful that is.
Yeah, I think there may be an asterisk to all of that. I the NBA may be opening up training facilities, but I think the situation's a little bit different down in the States. They may be opening them up in states where they're permitted to open them up. The NBA is a business like any other business, and they're subject to the law. And I'm sure in some states, probably in New York City, I doubt very much that they're actually legally permitted. And in Canada, I think we're shut down across the country, so it's a little bit different. But I tend to agree with you guys. May 1st is next, is
Friday.
Coming up this week. Yeah, I guess at the end of the day, if they feel that it's safe in certain states, but then you get into the whole issue of, you know, okay, so you open it up in half the teams because it's legally permitted, and the other half it's not. Then that creates a competitive issue as well, doesn't it? You know, I mean, how can you allow half your teams to train and your other half of your teams not to train? It doesn't make any sense to me. Michael, Ovechkin-Gretzky, that issue has popped up. You wrote an article about it. And, you know, that debate is heating up, and now it's also being discussed because we're in lockdown and how that affects. Gretzky seems to be a big supporter of Ovechkin and Ovechkin taking over his record. I know you had some thoughts on that this week.
Yeah, well, Gretzky had a front row seat for one of Ovechkin's greatest goals of all time, the one where he scored on his back against the Coyotes. And yeah, I think like the rest of us, Wayne just loves the enthusiasm, the excitement, the you know, the jaw-dropping skill that this guy's had over his career. And you know, let's face it, like you could have dropped Alex Ovechkin into 1980s NHL hockey and he would have been even more successful just with the style he played. Like he was sort of a Cam Neely, Wendell Clark, Eric Lindros type of player where he didn't just score goals, but he loved to hit. Loved that physicality of the game too. So, unlike maybe a Connor McDavid or like a Mitch Marner, you're going, yeah, what would his game play out back in the 70s, 80s era of hockey? Definitely Alex has a game that would have, you know, thrived in that era. And, I hope that he gets close to the record. I think with records like this, it's all about health and what your body's looking like, not just year by year, but what it looks like as you creep closer to the age of 40. And what Alex has going for him is that, he can score on the power play. He doesn't have to score 5-on-5. But what's going against him is that, he's already survived two lockouts and now he's had a season cut short because of COVID-19. And we don't know when hockey's going to be played next. And, when it is played next, is this extremely long layoff going to affect Alex in a way that maybe the World Cup of Hockey affected him when, all that rushing back to play a playoff-style tournament, he put up one of his worst seasons after that just because he looked like he was gassed. And Drew Doughty was talking about that a couple weeks ago and saying that was – you look at the numbers for a lot of older guys or a lot of star players, and their numbers are just awful. It was the young guys that really thrived because, they didn't mind jumping from one playoff to another season. So that'll be interesting. And I think that's the one thing that we got to look at with Alex Ovechkin is that how much all this time that he's missed, like I said, the two lockouts affected his pursuit of a number that really comes down to how many games you can play and how many seasons you can play.
I'll be talking to Michael Tracos. Michael, unfortunately, we've got to let you go, and we had a quick chat about it yesterday, really, really quickly. There's a fabulous new series on Netflix called The Last Dance. I think it's one of the better things I've seen in a long, long time. I know you've been watching it, and your thoughts. It's all about the Chicago Bulls, Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, and the 90s gang. 20, 30 seconds, Michael. Your thoughts on that series?
Oh, yeah, I love it. I wish that the NHL could kind of borrow that, and maybe it'd be great if we find out that, at the Wayne's last year in Edmonton was documented in the same regard. It would be great to kind of go down that, or even like the Detroit Red Wings era with Steve Yzerman and a young Henrik Zetterberg and Pavel Datsyuk. I would pay money to see a series like that, watching Datsyuk on a line with Robitaille, and I think it was Brett Hull, in the heyday of that Red Wings team. So I think the best thing about that Bulls series is just how much documentary footage there was of the Bulls at that time, and just what a great job they did of going back and retracing Scottie Pippen's and Michael Jordan's early career, college years as well, and getting to the heart of what made that team tick.
Anyways, we've been talking to Michael Tracos. Michael, thanks so much for joining us. Thanks for your support, and we wish you a happy birthday again. Have a fantastic day.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Stay safe.
Anyways, we've got to go to break, and we'll be right back with the coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Sheldon Keefe.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville introduced contact-free delivery. Order and prepay online and choose contact-free delivery. The driver will place your order on your doorstep in a nice, clear, protective bag. Then he'll politely stand back 2 metres and call the number on the receipt. Once you answer the door, he'll give you a little toodaloo and off he goes. Contact-free delivery from pizzaville.ca or the Pizzaville app.
This is Daryl Sittler for Alta Infinity in Vaughan. I've worked with some pretty great teams over the years, and the staff at Alta ranks among the very best. Expert sales, superior service, and the largest selection of Infinity cars and SUVs in Canada, and the most competitive pricing anywhere. It's no wonder that Alta has been an all-star performer for well over a decade. Visit AltaInfinityWoodbridge.com, or better yet, drop by the No. 7 Auto Mall at the corner of Martin Grove and Highway 7. Experience the difference that makes Alta Infinity the captain's choice.
To become a champion in business, it takes coaching, training, and bench strength. And every team needs a skilled player like KPMG Enterprise for private companies. KPMG Enterprise helps entrepreneurs and family businesses grow, strengthen, and transition by offering a full suite of services, including audit, accounting, tax, and advisory. Your business doesn't stand still. It evolves. Team up with a winner. Visit kpmg.ca/enterprise. Let's do this.
The security business is easy, right? Anyone can learn it. Perhaps they can learn it on duty with your valuables at stake. Perhaps they can learn it in a crisis situation that requires an immediate, intelligent response when lives are at risk. After all, what harm can a few mistakes make? Plenty. When it comes to security for your business or office, an experienced partner like Regal Security makes sense. Security is what they do. Peace of mind is what they provide. Visit them online at regalsecurity.ca and find out how much they know, not how much they can learn.
Are you real ready? If you're a real estate agent, we can help you sell more homes. A business owner? We'll help show it off to the community at large. And if you're a homeowner, we'll supply accurate floor plans for every room in your home. Because selling property is all in the details. Real Tours Media, creators of 3D virtual tours, walkthrough video, HDR photography, logos, and brands. Check out the one-stop shop for successful real estate agents. RealToursMedia.ca.
There's an old saying, entrepreneurship doesn't build character, it reveals character. Entrepreneurs learn to trust a person by trusting people. The law firm Rigabon Carly understands this. They know all about entrepreneurs because they work for them. Every day, they've earned their trust. They know that when it comes to meeting the legal and business needs of entrepreneurs, good enough is not enough. Rigabon Carly, the intelligent choice.
They never argue sports. They just explain while they're always correct. The boys are back. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are on the new AM 740 in downtown Toronto, 96.7 FM, live streaming, www.zoomerradio.ca. We're thrilled and pleased to welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour the coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Sheldon Keefe. Good morning, Sheldon.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're doing great. Thanks so much for joining us, and welcome to Zoomer Radio. First question, of course, is how are you? How's your family, and what's going on?
Well, thanks. We're doing well. We're managing like everybody else here right now, and trying to take advantage of the time that we do have to spend with each other, and going through everything that any young family would go through. I got two young boys that are obviously ready to get out and play with their friends and do all that deal. But it's been both fun and interesting to go through everything from working on their schoolwork here at home to trying to keep them busy and try new things and spend lots of time together. So we've been enjoying that, and of course. There's been lots happening from the work side of it in terms of continuing to stay sharp and learn what we can about our team while we're taking this time and communicating with all the different departments in the organization, from players to player development and our coaching staff, of course, and management and all the different departments. Just to keep everybody up to speed and trying to use the time that we have wisely.
Sheldon, what are you hearing about the start of the season? We're hearing lots of things out there. What are you hearing?
Well, I think I'm hearing, pretty much the same things that are out there in the media. The NHL has done a pretty great job of keeping people informed, and that includes us. There's obviously lots of different scenarios that have been tossed around, and you know, the NHL is making plans, and you know, I think obviously everybody realizes though that it's going to be up to the health officials to determine when it's safe for us to resume, first of all, training, and then getting back towards playing. But we are certainly excited that the NHL is taking steps to do what they can to be prepared when that occurs.
Sheldon, where, just from a curiosity point of view, where are the players right now? Are they all mostly in the Toronto area? Are they all scattered around the world in their home, in their hometowns? Generally, you know, obviously without getting into specific confidential details, generally, where are they right now?
Yeah, most of them have gone back to their hometowns or to where they would normally spend their off seasons. Of course, we do have a number of players who are, you know, from the area here, and they've remained. But you know, for the most part, the players have all returned to their off season home bases, which is, you know, which has allowed them to have a little bit more availability for them to not only to be with family and things like that, but you know, to have, you know, their off season setups, if you will, which, you know, at a time like this when it, you know, they have to remain home and go by the guidelines that have been laid out, that they also need to have, you know, opportunities to train and do those things. And a number of players have certainly better setups in their off season homes than they would in their condos, which is where most players, you know, would live during the season. So that's where they're at, and you know, I've been communicating with them, and they're staying positive and staying busy, and our training staff has done a terrific job of trying to adapt to the situation and making sure that everybody has a customized program to take advantage of what they have at their disposal.
Sheldon, go ahead, Ness.
What are you hearing on the injury front from your side? Is everybody recovered, or?
Yeah, we've got the two main injured guys that hadn't been playing for us. I guess there's three players with Jake Muzzin and Killian Mikheyev, and then Andreas Johnsson. Johnsson's more of a long-term case after having knee surgery. So he's still recovering, and he's still months away. However, Mikheyev and Muzzin both have been taking advantage of the extra time to be feeling good. And the NHL has allowed the injured players, so anybody who was on the injured reserve and is recovering from an injury, has allowed those players to remain at the facility and continue to go in and get treatment that they require to get back up to being game ready. So both Muzzin and Mikheyev have taken advantage of that and are feeling good. And those guys have been able to skate up until a couple of weeks ago when the ice was taken out at Scotiabank Arena. But they've been training and working out, and they're feeling good.
So we're talking to Toronto Maple Leafs coach Sheldon Keefe. Sheldon, November 20th, 2019, you became the coach of one of the most storied franchises in NHL history. But you had an interesting journey that got you to that specific date and time. Some fantastic years with the Sioux Greyhounds, Calder Cup, and great years with the Toronto Marlies. Fantastic career in the Ontario Hockey League with St. Mike's and the Barrie Colts. Outstanding achievements there. But the interesting part about this for me, and I have to ask you this question. In 2003, at the age of 23, you became the owner. You started at the top of the pyramid rather than the bottom. You became the owner. You purchased the Pembroke Lumber Kings Junior A franchise. What possessed a 23-year-old to buy a Canadian Junior A hockey team?
Well, yeah, it was a little different and unique for sure. But I had a gentleman named Kevin Abrams who, it turns out, now is actually the president commissioner of that of that Junior A League that Pembroke participates in, the Central Canada Hockey League. He had been involved in junior hockey for quite some time, and at the time was working outside of hockey, but was wanting to get back involved. And while I was playing in the NHL at the time, he just kind of asked me if I would ever consider owning a junior team, and certainly owning a junior A team at that time in particular was not a massive investment, and certainly nothing like owning an OHL team. But at the same time, it's a chance to kind of give back to junior hockey and stay engaged in junior hockey. And I thought it was a neat thing to consider. But of course, I was thinking way down the line, something to do perhaps when I finished playing. And then he just came back to me not long after that and just said, if you're serious, there is a really good opportunity in Pembroke. For those that don't know or haven't been, Pembroke is as unique a city as you will find for junior A hockey in terms of how ingrained it is in the community there, and the fan support, the arena, everything about the Lumber Kings is very unique, and I think from my experience, far beyond anything that you find in Ontario, especially for junior A hockey. So it was a great opportunity to get involved with that, and then as it turned out, my playing career ended much sooner than I had thought it would or had hoped that it would. And luckily for me, I had an opportunity to continue to be involved in the game.
Later on, you switched over to the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds, the OHL franchise. And of course, that would have been when you started. Well, I don't know when it started, but Kyle Dubas was involved with the Greyhounds. Tell us, did you know Kyle before that? And how did you end up going from Pembroke to the Sioux?
Well, I coached, I was the head coach there in Pembroke at the junior level for, it was partway through my seventh season, the SEM, and I got the call from Kyle, and I did not know him previously other than a couple very casual encounters or conversations in the arenas. At the time, he was an agent, and I was trying to recruit a couple of his players, but I certainly did not know him other than a couple of those type of conversations that you have with a lot of different agents and advisors. But he had called me, and Kyle, of course, is a very thorough guy, and then was doing his own work and considering to make a coaching change. And through a number of people that he had spoken with, my name had been mentioned, so he thought it was worthwhile to have a conversation with me, and it started with that. And then ultimately he decided to make the change and bring me in and give me a chance to coach there, which of course I was tremendously grateful for. It was an exciting opportunity, and we were able to work together and build a successful program there in Sault Ste. Marie. And then, once again, good fortune for me that he gets the job with the Maple Leafs as assistant general manager, and then and ultimately gives me a chance to work in pro hockey with the Marlies.
Naz?
You coached in Toronto with the Marlies. What do you feel is the difference between the NHL coaching and coaching at the AHL level?
Well, I would say that the biggest difference, well, there's a few different things, of course, but the degree of talent that you're working with, you're working with the best of the best, of course, and a number of them do come through the doors of the American Hockey League and develop. But the truly elite players, such as Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, John Tavares, these type of players that don't come through the AHL doors for a reason, because they're elite. So that would be the difference, both in the ones that you coach and the ones that you coach against. Makes it a little bit different in that sense. A little more like junior hockey in terms of the fact that you do have, in junior hockey, the elite players do play there. But the AHL level, you don't get quite that same degree of talent. Then the biggest thing would just be the schedule, the way that the schedule is, and The NHL schedule is quite relentless, and for the most part, it's an every second day type of league. And then, you know, you do get a chance to breathe a little bit here and there and come up for air and prepare for the next step. But the schedule is quite relentless, whereas in the American League level, it's more condensed to the weekends, and you get a lot of practice time and time to recover and plan and train and develop and all those types of things. And you're doing so many things on the fly at the NHL level, and that would be the biggest adjustment.
Talking to Sheldon Keefe. Sheldon, the world is changing, and coaches have been under a microscope in the last little while. The world is evolving. The Gary Bettman and the people at the NHL have announced a new coaches' conduct, that the manual that they're working on, addressing a lot of the for lack of a better term, indiscretions of the past. You're obviously amongst one of the young guns in coaching. Out in terms of what you've learned, in terms of what is appropriate behavior on behalf of a coach, how far has the needle moved?
Well, I think it's moved a tremendous amount, and I think it's really reflective of what's happening in society in general. You know, the things we've improved as a society in so many ways, and now, of course, with the things being as magnified as they are through the use of social media and everything like that, I think we're, you know, things spread quicker, and we're held to an account to a higher degree, and all those types of things. So I think there's been an evolution from a coaching perspective, that a recognition that that you work in so many ways. You work for the players and with the players, and developing compassion and empathy and all those types of things that I don't think were necessarily at the forefront many years ago. They certainly are now, and that's across all sports, and I think it's across all society in terms of how we work in in any sort of work environment, and how you treat people is paramount. So I know that's a priority for myself and through our entire organization, and I don't think we're alone in that. And hockey, I believe, has made lots of strides, not unlike where society has gone as a whole.
I've got to ask you, Sheldon, coaches have been under the microscope in this particular cycle. I don't envy anybody having a coach, in the NHL. I'm sure there's challenges beyond belief, especially, you're dealing with 19, 20-year-olds, you're dealing with 30-year-olds, 19, 20-year-olds making a lot of money. Some of them are men, some of them are still trying to get beyond their childhoods. So do you have any specific coaching philosophy or coaching style or motivational techniques? All these players are not necessarily all angels, Sheldon. What do you do to correct behavior if you see something that is impacting the team or impacting that individual?
Well, I think as a coach, again, we're not any different than any other workplace or anything like that, that we face, various different things. I will say we're very fortunate to have a great group in Toronto, and we've got a group of players that have great intentions about everything that they do, and they need some help to find their way to being great and realizing their potential. And it's on me to help guide them through that. At times to push them, at times to hold them accountable, at times to love them and care about them and do all the things that I need to do to be able to help that process along. That is ultimately my job. But as I said, we do have a good group here with the Leafs. I'm very fortunate for that. And as you mentioned, it is a good balance of young players, but also some very experienced players that have high character and set a great example for our team. And I've been able to benefit from that. I've also got a great coaching staff as well, and lots of experience in our upper management, all the way, you know, all the way from Kyle Dubas to Lawrence Gilman and Brandon Pridham, and of course Brendan Shanahan. Lots of different people that I contribute to everything that happens within the organization. That's not even to mention our medical and training staff and wellness staff and all the different people that are able to help with the entire program.
Sheldon, how does it feel coaching the number one storied franchise in NHL history?
Well, I recognize how special it is. I grew up in Brampton, Ontario myself, and of course, you don't even have to be a local guy to know what the Toronto Maple Leafs mean to the hockey world and to the city of Toronto. I feel it every single day, whether we're at home or on the road, just how much the team means to our fans, to our supporters, and it's very special. I look at it as a tremendous honor and responsibility. I recognize that what I'm doing is important to a lot of people. A lot of people care about what we're doing, and that inspires me to do the work to be able to get our program to where we all expect it to be.
Sheldon, it was you came in November 20th. Leafs, the team went gangbusters for a while, and then it's sort of plateaued, up and down, injuries. In terms of preparation for whatever comes next, what areas would you like to see improvements, and what will it take to, assuming we get a playoffs of some kind, what will it take for the Leafs to have a significant playoff run?
Well, you know, we have a very unique times here right now to where we've had a pause to our season, and we're trying as a staff to be able to utilize that to our benefit. You know, the one thing about myself is you mentioned coming in November 20th, you know, as the season's up and running, and we've already talked about the relentless nature of the NHL schedule and how it's, they're basically preparing and then reviewing games consistently. And then you don't get as much time to be as organized or as prepared as you'd like to be in terms of implementing the different things that you want to do as a team. It's more about kind of plugging holes and keeping guys fresh and being ready for the next game. So, I'm excited about an opportunity now to sort of regroup and find greater clarity in how it is we want to play and the things we want to do. And then we're going to have a training camp setting when we do resume. So that's exciting for me, and I think we'll make some strides just in that alone, and that's on myself and our staff to be as prepared as possible. And we're working every single day. We haven't taken a day off as a staff, despite the circumstances. We're working every day to work toward that. And then, you know, the other thing is just, you know, continuing to have some growth with our individuals in terms of the consistency of play and how we prepare and how we perform. And we're having lots of conversations during this time to work towards that, and whether it's myself and our staff with the players or the players amongst themselves, they're communicating consistently. And as much as this is there's no hockey happening here, there's been lots happening about the building of our team and improvement of the individuals. We're trying to maximize every day that we have to ensure we come back better versions of ourselves, and I've been happy with how we've been able to do so despite the circumstances.
Sheldon, what do you consider the strengths of this team?
Well, the strength of the team is would be in the talent and in the ability, the skill level of the group all the way through. Of course, there's lots of attention on our big players, if you will. Lots of attention to those guys, and deservedly so, because they've had outstanding seasons to this point and have performed very well offensively to make us among the elite teams in the NHL in that regard. But we've got skill all the way through our team.
I've got depth through the minor league system and through our prospects through the draft. So there's lots of depth there that I'm excited about in terms of how they continue to develop. But I just think we've got a group of guys that are really committed to growing together. Recognize that we're not where we want to be in terms of our consistency and where we are amongst the league, but we're working every day towards that. And the players you would expect to lead the way and be the hungriest and be the ones to push our team, those are the guys that are driving us. And that, for me as a coach, is exciting.
Naz, really quick, we've got about 50 seconds left.
Austin Matthews made big strides this past season. And how far can he go as a player?
Well, the one thing about a player like Austin is that I don't believe there's any sort of limitations that can be put on someone with his ability. I spent a great deal of time here in the last month or so reviewing all of our players' games, but Austin in particular, and you can just see that he can play the game any way that you'd like to play it. If it's going to be physical in nature, he can be physical and competitive as anybody, and he wins more loose puck battles than as many as anybody in the league, from my perspective. And he really took great strides in the consistency of his effort and his competitiveness, leading the way in that regard. Because lots of attention, as there should be, on his ability to shoot and score and make great plays and use his ability that way. He's an electric player. But the whole package, from a physical standpoint, the competitiveness and the talent and skill level and then the drive to be great that he has, you cannot put any limitations on him. And he's an exciting player for our program, of course, to continue to push us to new heights.
Sheldon, on that note, the clock has struck 10, which means we've got to hustle off the air. Sheldon, Naz and I pretend, we don't pretend. We are homers. We are Toronto Maple Leafs fans. We don't pretend otherwise. We wish you and the team all the best. Bring us home the Stanley Cup, and thanks so much for this. We really, really appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, thank you, guys, and I certainly appreciate your support, as all of us with the Leafs do.
Thank you. And Naz, unfortunately, Sheldon, thank you. I apologize. Thanks so much for joining us. To all our listeners, have a fantastic week. We'll be back again next Sunday morning with Ron McLean. Have a great week.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.